characteristics essential to church planting. About 20 years ago, many people involved in church planting started to ask the question, what is the key element to successful church planting? And they've realized after some study that the key element to church and successful church planting is not funding or location or even oversight. The key element is the person who is chosen to pioneer the plant. Who is the pioneer? And I know in church planting there's a whole team and there's a whole core that works together, but I want to focus specifically on the characteristics of the pioneer. What are those key elements necessary in that person to help the success of the church? So let's just look at the first one. The first one is to be a visionary. The guy that says, I have the dream, I have a dream. The guy that can communicate what God has spoken in his heart. That is so important. But not just the visionary that can communicate the dream, but the person with the ability to see the big picture. It's not the guy that asks, what can I do? It's the guy that asks, what must be done to make this ministry successful? It's a different way of approaching the same problem. Someone will come and ask, how can I be involved? What can I do? And then there'll be somebody else that thinks a little bit further, thinking about what needs to be done to make this successful. I'll give you an example. Many times I visit young plants, especially in the beginning, the first thing that I look for is, where's the kiddies church? And sadly, I find many church plants don't have a kiddies church. And then I normally go to the pastor and I ask him, what is your heart? What is the vision of the church? What is the target market? Who would you like to incorporate in your church? And most of them will say, but we would like to have a family church of all generations. And then I would ask them, but where's your kiddies church? And so many times they will respond by saying, but we haven't started one yet because we don't have kids yet. And you see, that's a key element right there. You know what? I always say, on day one, the first service, whether you have kids or you don't have kids, you must have kiddies church. You must have somebody allocated to head up that ministry that comes prepared. There must be a TV, a DVD, there must be a changing station, there must be nappies, there must be soft toys, hard toys, there must be a lesson worked out, even though there's no kids. Because you never know when mother comes the first time, when the family comes, you know what, the mother, the first thing she would look for is, where's the kiddies church? Is this church geared for children? And if she comes for the first time and there is nothing, sadly, they'll probably not return. But if they come and somebody approaches them and say, welcome, ma'am, my name is Susan, I'm in charge of kiddies church, I will take care of your children. What are their names? What are their ages? Come with me. I have a great lesson prepared for them. Even though they might be the only children, that mother in her heart will know, this church cares for my children. They have a vision. They are going somewhere. And I think that's so important to understand. You must be able to see the big picture. You must be able to answer the question, what is necessary for this ministry to be successful? And start there. Many people ask, what is first, the egg or the chicken? Well, for me, it's simple. It's the egg. You got to start small. You got to start somewhere. Don't wait for the chicken. Just start with the egg. Build from nothing. But people buy into vision. If they walk into your church and they see the banners and the purpose statements and they see everything is neat and organized, even though you're small, they see the vision that is communicated through everything you do. So that's one of the aspects, one of the characteristics, the big picture, the visionary, but the guy that also asks the question, how can I make this happen? When you start a church, initially, you do everything. You are the cell leader, you lead and you facilitate all the encounter series. You do encounter 1, encounter 2, encounter 3, encounter 4, encounter 5. You do Bible school. I start Bible school normally within the first 2 months. And guess what? I teach more than 50% of the modules because nobody else has taught before. So you teach all the modules, you do all the counseling, you do all the follow-ups, you do all the admin, you do the finance, you do everything. As a matter of fact, your wife probably does kiddies church. The couple together have to be hard working. It is hard work. It's great fun. It's very rewarding, but it is very hard work. You will be busy every night of the week because you are going to be initially involved in training leaders so that they can take over from you. But the best way to train is to model it. So as you train your leaders, you're going to be very busy, and at some time you're going to hand it over and become less busy. But being a pioneer means you need to be a hard worker. The third essential characteristic to a church pioneer is really to be able to connect with the unreached, those who are outside of the church, the unchurched and the lost. It's so important that he has the capacity and the ability to communicate the gospel in such a way that those who are unchurched can actually accept and hear and understand. It's so important that you are able, through your words and your deeds, set an example that others will put their faith in Jesus. That's so important. The fourth characteristic of a pioneer is really to be able to communicate the vision effectively, but also, very importantly, the ability to communicate the vision in such a way that people will buy into it. And this is where many pioneers fall short. They have a great vision, but they struggle to get people to buy into that vision. And that is so important. You need to be able to communicate the vision that God has placed in your heart in such a way that people get excited about it, that people buy into it, and that people are willing to follow it. And that is so important in a church pioneer. The fifth characteristic is the ability to disciple and to mentor leaders. I think this is very important. I don't want to share too much around discipleship because we have a whole module around this topic. But I do want to mention a few things. I think it's so important that the pioneer has the capacity to raise up leaders, because soon the church, as it grows, will demand so much of your time and effort. If you do not have the capacity to raise and to delegate to leaders, you will burn out. And I think this is a very important ability, is to raise leaders. And we're not just talking about leaders that can govern, but also leaders that can connect with the unchurched and the lost. So it's important to have a good balance between those who can govern and those who can connect with the unreached. Very important. The other question that you need to ask yourself is, how do I disciple people? And what are the aim? What are the outcomes of my discipleship? Here's a few questions that will help you think through this topic. How do I gather new believers into disciple-making groups? Very important. How do I actually enable new believers to come into an environment where they are discipled? Very important. How do I teach new disciples to obey and follow Jesus Christ? Really, that's what we spoke about. It's not just about teaching, but it's actually equipping people to follow, to apply the Word of God. That is so important. One has to think through this in my discipleship structure. Is this a place where people only receive, or am I enabling people to actually apply the Word of God? Are disciples learning how to discover and obey the truth of the Scripture for themselves? So important. The new believers, are they being exposed to Bible study, personal Bible study? Are they equipped to actually listen and hear the voice of God? This is so important. Not just to hear, but also to be quiet. Not just to hear from man, but also to be quiet and hear from God. That is so important. It's important that that also manifests through our discipleship. How do I ensure new believers who are insiders in the community are sharing the gospel? This is so important for discipleship. You know what? Most Christians, after 2 years, have lost most of their unsaved friends. And they tend to have only saved friends. New believers are amazing. They have so many unsaved friends. It is so important that through our discipleship, we encourage new believers to actually reach out to their friends. That is so important. That's how a church grows. Through new believers coming in and they reaching out to their new friends and their old friends and inviting them to church. It's so important that our discipleship actually equip new believers to be effective in sharing the gospel. The second last question is, are they teaching others to follow Jesus? Are you equipping your new believers to actually disciple others also? That's so important. And then lastly, how can I equip them to do this effectively? Very importantly, so many people are afraid of evangelism. They are scared around unsaved people because they do not feel equipped. They do not feel comfortable or they do not feel adequately prepared to actually have a conversation around the gospel. And that's so important. We need to help people to be confident and prepared and equipped to share the gospel. These are all important outcomes for discipleship that we need to ask ourselves continually. How are these things manifesting through our discipleship processes? The sixth and last critical factor for the pioneer, as a matter of fact, for anybody in ministry, is that you need to have a cooperative spouse that is equally passionate to the ministry than yourself. I think this is so important. You are not planting the church. Your family is planting the church. And if it's stressful for you, remember, it's equally stressful for the family. Sometimes we think as leaders, we carry all the load. We make all the sacrifices and we have to bear with all the stress. But we forget that our family is planting with us, and especially our wives. This is very true when you relocate. Because you must remember, when you relocate to a different town, the support network that is there to encourage and support is all of a sudden gone. And we must recognize the fact that our wives makes the greatest sacrifice, because she is willing to share you with the church. The church is going to demand a lot of your time, a lot of your emotion, a lot of your love and affection. And our wives are the ones that are willing to lay down their lives for the church. They are willing to share us with the church. And that is so important to recognize and to affirm our wives in ministry for the sacrifice that they are making. Spend time with them. Make time with them. Spend quality time with your family, and especially with your wife. And realize that she is making a great sacrifice. This is so important. And where possible, involve your family in the ministry. Let them be part of what you do so that they can also share in the rewards of what you're doing. You know what? Especially for those who are still single and have aspirations to go into the ministry, I always say, don't marry somebody that you are not sure are either equally or more passionate about the church than yourself. Because if you marry somebody that is not as passionate as you are, church will always be competition. So make sure that you find somebody that is equally or more passionate about church that you can involve with you in the ministry, and there will never be competition. This is so important. Matthew 16 verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church. He declares that he is the one that is building the church. And then in Ephesians 5, he commands, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. What a powerful statement. Christ says he will build his church, and our responsibility as husbands is to love our wives. And sadly, so many times in ministry, I find the pastors builds the church and expects God to love their wives. And that leads to lots of complications. And I want to encourage you in the ministry. Remember, your marriage is your most important ministry. That is a reflection, according to Ephesians 5, of our relationship with God. Marriage is something uniquely special and mysterious and has its eternal spiritual significance because it reflects our relationship with God and his relationship with us. But if our marriages fails in ministry, what does that communicate about our relationship with the God that we serve? So it is so important that we see our marriages as our most important ministries and invest in our wives, invest in our children, and spend time with them. The time that we have together, make it the best. Make memories, make it awesome together. And try and involve them in everything that you do, that they may share in the joy and the excitement of seeing the church grow. That is so important. And to end off this session with the greatest obstacles to effective church planting. First, a lack of a clear call. Second, the inability to work as a team. Third, the lack of an adequate strategy. And you know what? So many churches plateau at 65 members and they struggle to overcome the 100 member mark. That plateau, that barrier, so many churches struggle to break through the 100. And I really believe the reason is because we are targeting the wrong people. We are targeting Christians and not the unchurched and the lost. If we target the unchurched and the lost, it helps us to break through that barrier. And then I would like to end off with Luke 15 from verse 4. Jesus speaks and he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That is the heart of God, to seek and save the lost. And if that is our heart, we will not only grow, but we will share in the joy of God as we see the lost turn to Him. What a great privilege. I want to encourage you, be part of that, and you will share in this great adventure.